All right. We ready?
Yeah.
Poor miserable me. I'm having cramps. And this person over here is flying by me.
You're recording this, aren't you, Freeman?
I get everything. All right. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Welcome to another edition of Bonus Miles, Scott. I'm starting this off the same way we start off all podcasts, but this is after the recording that we released just last week with Dr. Phil. The part that says, hey, let's continue recording and let's just talk some more.
If you haven't listened to that episode, it's very good. It's about becoming stronger. And the recent book that Phil Maffetone released back in November of 2020, there's a lot of really good insights. I think you can gain some of that. Now, on with Bonus Miles.
Sure.
What have you been up to? You told us via an email that you've been traveling over to Europe. What did you do that for?
Yeah, the end of last summer, I recorded an album in New York, which was a bit overdue because COVID had shut things down and I couldn't get the people I wanted or the studio I wanted. And finally, it all came together. I recorded an album. And then right after that, I heard from a guy in Lisbon, Pierre Adern, who's of Portuguese, a French-born Brazilian living in Lisbon, who's a well-established singer-songwriter, and an Ironman triathlete who's gotten out of shape, who was calling to see if I could help him. And I said, no, not really, but tell me about your music. And one thing led to another, and we ended up writing a song together, which I never really have done that. And then we ended up writing another song together, and he invited me to Lisbon, and I went, and I met some of the most interesting musicians who had some of the most interesting instruments, instruments I'd never seen before. Bossa Nova, samba, fado, those things which you see traditionally in the Portuguese language, in Brazil and in Europe. And it was just magical. It was truly magical. And the only thing I can relate it to is when Paul Simon went to South Africa and came up with this amazing album called Graceland. And I'm quickly going to point out that my music is not as good as Paul Simon's. However, for me, it was a huge, huge, just a breakthrough into a whole new world that I didn't even know existed. And the recordings we made were just to die for. And so I'm going to have three of those singles coming out starting next week, actually, along with a new website. But my album that I sort of feel that was the last album of that part of my music career has come out. I think it came out last week. And what's interesting about that album is I wrote a song called Generations, which appears on my second or third album. This album is my eighth album, actually.
Wow.
And the song Generations is sort of about my kids and grandkids because they were starting to show up around then. And when I was ready to record my first album in Nashville, my daughter, who was in a band when she was in college, said, I could sing some of those songs. I said, oh, okay. So she came down and she sang one of the songs called Flowers and Weeds, which is a really, if you haven't heard Flowers and Weeds, it's a must. And she was very stressed. I said, well, why are you so stressed? She said, well, it's the first time I've left Sarah, her daughter, her oldest daughter. Well, a few weeks later, I wrote a song called Sarah Softly about Sarah. And suddenly I'm in New York and here comes Sarah to record a song with me, a duet. She's all grown. Well, she's not all grown up, but she's now a great piano player, a great vocalist, guitar player. And I've been trying to get her into the studio to record with me. And so my daughter's daughter shows up in the studio. We do this duet called My Place, which just made me cry. I mean, it's just so, so rewarding. So that's the last album. And the Lisbon music will start, like I said, will start coming out at three singles in the next 3 months, starting next week.
So if people want to listen to these songs, because hearing the story from you makes me want to tune in and listen to hear the sounds that you're talking about, where do we find it?
My music is on all of the online streaming companies, Spotify, Apple, Amazon. There's 50, 60 of them, I guess, now. And so I'm told that most people have subscribed to something. And even if you don't, many things like Spotify are free. You'll hear some commercials along the way, but they're out there. Nobody buys CDs anymore, and I'm changing my website, and I'm not going to have all my stuff on my website because it's really too hard to maintain, and people have them available anyway. So they're out there wherever you get your music from.
Phil, how would you describe the departure from that New York album to the singles that we're going to be hearing in the coming weeks? What identifies the difference?
I think simply that it's a different state of musical consciousness. It's just, you know, I mean, listen to Paul Simon's early folk music and then listen to Graceland. It's equally as wonderful, but it's different. It's a different state of consciousness. And that's, I don't know, I haven't thought about that question, but I just came up with that answer. So I hope.
That's a good answer then, and an appropriate one. I was thinking earlier when you were talking about the different musical instruments and the way they look, the way they sound, is what I'm imagining. There's definitely some differences. All new music, you said, musical instruments. But what's the same? There must be something that parallels, even though they have different sounds, different shapes. But there must be some similarities between the guitar, piano, and the flute, things that we are accustomed to.
There's some musical, I can describe it musically in that the you know, the notes that you might play for a song with Portuguese players, you wouldn't play in New York. In a sense, and there are some people that find these notes, you know, the Beatles did, Joni Mitchell does. And so when you listen to Joni Mitchell, you hear all these, you know, these open tunings, these different sounds that are different from a lot of what a lot of Western people are playing. Although the Portuguese are sort of Westerners as well, but the difference is a step or two or three closer to Eastern music. That would be another way to maybe describe it.
Does that experience motivate you to maybe do a little more traveling and seeing what other inspiration you can get from other cultures?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I only came back because Europe was starting to panic with COVID, and the U.S. was starting to say, hey, you're going to have a hard time getting back into the country. And so I said, I better leave now. We were shooting a video on the streets of Lisbon when I literally left for the airport. And luckily, I was able to leave before they closed their borders and before the U.S. was going to make me download an app and keep tabs on me and put me in some hotel for 2 weeks, which would not have been a good thing. So But I'm waiting for this pandemic to fade out, which I think it's already started to do. And I think when that happens, I'll probably head over there again.
I thought you came back for this podcast, Dr. Maffetone.
Well, I was hoping I would hear from you so that. No, I did. Hey, I think Freeman. I did two podcasts while I was over there, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Freeman, they have internet over there too.
Internet.
Okay. You've been on a lot of podcasts, Dr. Phil. I mean, a lot, because you're desirable, because people want to hear from you. They want to have a dialogue and learn as they listen. So you're a hot commodity. And I would encourage anybody just to search out podcasts, Phil Maffetone, and download and listen and learn. And because everybody has different questions that they want answers to. And that's one of the things I just love. You can throw anything at Dr. Maffetone and something's going to come back. Something.
Well, thanks, Don. It sort of has been taking the place of lectures. I've really enjoyed lecturing over the years. And in the last 5, 6, 8 years, traveling has gotten more difficult because of the restrictions, and it's not been as much fun. And so this is sort of a way to do the lecture part, the Q&A in particular, without having to get on a plane and go through all that hassle.
Yeah, COVID hasn't been a good thing for many reasons, but one of the things I think that has really opened us all to more of an online experience, accept it, and I think it grows and opens up many opportunities like this one. We're spending here time talking with you, yet there's going to be at least 3 other people that will listen to it, and that's what makes it, you know, I think the Zoom and the virtual meetings and the virtual conferences and lecturing are really good for all of us. And it's recorded, so you can join in anytime that's convenient for you.
Sure. I think COVID has made people realize that there are better ways of doing things. And I think there's some benefits that come out of that, along with all the bad things, obviously, that have happened. But the real question is, are people truly going to learn, or are they going to just go back to the old habits?
I hope learn, because I think it's a greener way if you're looking at environmentally friendly ways to exchange ideas. You know, we don't all have to jump in a car, drive to a conference center and sit down and then drive back, right? I mean, you can just, you know, get up from your chair, or hopefully after you've lifted your kettlebell, and sit down and learn a little bit and take away from it.
Yeah, at your own time, in place of listening to the radio, in place of watching TV, in place of I don't know what, talking to people you don't
video
talk
games
to.
Video games, that's a big time suck right now.
And hopefully it changes our educational system. You know, it. Why are we meeting in all the brick and mortar buildings and listening to one lecture when we can identify some very forward thinking people and we can join in and learn? Because I think I learned that I can hit pause and think about something, or look something up, or I can, or I can rewind it when I accidentally faded away in my own thoughts, and
yep.
I can rewind.
Yep. I do that all the time. I was listening to something the other day, and I said, wait a minute. And I hit pause. I didn't go back. I just wanted my brain to ponder. I wanted to stare and be in an alpha state with that thought. And it's just, you know, it's just very important that we can do that.
You know, we talk about the condition of ADD, attention deficit disorder. We hang the word disorder on it, but maybe it's not a disorder at all.
It's certainly not a disorder. It's actually a normal part of brain function for humans. And, you know, at some point society said, oh, no, here's what you need to do. You need to pay attention to this. And the fact that you're a better learner with reading over listening or doing rather than listening, it doesn't matter. We're going to test you on all of them, or at least on reading and listening. And it just doesn't, you know, if you're a learn by doing and you're not in an environment where you're learning by doing, you are in trouble.
Yeah, stay in the authorities. Stay in your lane. Don't get out of the box. Stay right where you are.
Yes, and spend the rest of your life that way.
Yes, because if you challenge the status quo, you're going to disrupt our authority and our leadership. So stay right there. Are we going too far down a rabbit hole, War? Am I getting myself in trouble here?
I thought we weren't going to talk about politics. Oh.
we can do that on the bonus mile.
All right. Dr. Phil, thanks for running this extra lap with us, or down the trail, or out and back, or around the horn, or whatever.
Well, thank you, Don. Thank you, Scott. This has been fun as usual, and I'm really glad we're doing it in such a free way, it's always more fun, and I think it can be more creative, more rewarding than following. I don't follow a script ever. Some people try to give me a script, and I sometimes purposely deviate from it. But it's just, this is how the brain works, and this is what we do. So
we found early on that our scripts were all terrible, and so if we followed them, we wouldn't have very good stuff.
Sure.
So can we arrange for another podcast somewhere in the foreseeable future where we start with the intent of talking about listening to the body? We may never get to that topic, and it doesn't matter. It's just a placeholder for the next.
Sure. It's a fun topic because I usually begin and end with the sentence, listen to your body. And I know some people are saying, well, what does that really mean? Well, I can describe it from a neurological way, from a biomechanical way. But let's look at the whole picture, and that would be fun to do.
Hey, thanks, and be safe out there. We hope that you're, after we're done with this, you go over to the kettlebell in the corner and do a few squats.
I am definitely going to do that.
Go out and run.
Mas.